On ABC Radio,
this is The Big Fish
with Scott Levi.
Good morning. Welcome aboard a Glenbourne Dam Masterclass with champion bass angler Mitchell Cohn on his home waters first cast this morning on The Big Fish. It's all coming up. Alex Bellissimo takes us on another Shanks Pony adventure. Sydney Harbour, land-based fishing options. It's all coming up on The Big Fish. It's The Big Fish, and we're exploring the waters of Glenbourne, one of the great impoundments up in the Hunter Valley, and a bloke who knows it like the back of his hand, Mitchell Cohn. Good morning, Mitch.
How's it going, mate?
Good, mate, and I hear that you were part of Team Australia that won the silver medal at the World Fishing Games as well.
Yeah, that's correct, mate. Start of the year, we were over in South Africa, taking on about 13 different countries in the World Fishing Games, so luckily, you know, we put a few of the right fish in the boat and come home with a silver medal. So very excited to get over to America at the end of next year and, see if we can go one better.
What were the target species in South Africa? I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah, it's a largemouth bass, but, yeah, they call them black bass over there. So, yeah, something we don't have in Australia. But, we were lucky enough to have a couple of ex-South African guys on our team with a little bit of knowledge from when they used to live over there. So Between the team, we put together a solid game plan and, worked out quite well.
That's a great achievement. Where was it fished, Mitch?
It was fished on the Vaal River, sort of near Johannesburg. So got to go and see Nelson Mandela Square and did the big parade through the city for the opening ceremony. And, quite eye-opening. It was a very cool experience.
Fishing, bringing the cultures together. It's a wonderful thing. They've come from America or somewhere?
Oh, they're a northern strain of largemouth. Not typically they get the Florida strain over in, well, two types of two breeds in America, but these are all northern strain. A lot of very big fish over there too. Recent comps over there was, you know, fish well into the 5 kilo mark weighed in. So.
Oh, that's a monster.
Yeah.
That's a monster. Yeah. You know, with those largemouth bass in the south of America, if you get one 6 or 8 pound, that's a game breaker. But 5 kilos, what's that in the old scale?
Oh, they were 14 pound kind of. Yeah, fish,
well, that's
yeah.
Absolutely humongous compared to the largemouth that they catch in the American tournaments that we see on the telly. So similar sort of tactics.
Yeah, very similar. Yep, a lot of our fish come on spinnerbaits actually, so it was very good. We related that to back home, and you know, all the boys were, you know, quite confident in throwing a spinnerbait. So a spinnerbait and then a mojo rig. It's just a worm on a sliding small ball weight and hopping it across the trees, etc. And yeah,
but both very very nice snag proof presentations, aren't they?
Definitely, yeah. That was key.
Yeah, the good stuff. Getting it right up in the bungee.
Yeah, that's right.
And now let's go to your old backyard. You used to live at Willow Tree, is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Just up the road from mighty Glenbourne. It's a bit of a mystery for a lot of us. I've fished St Clair, and St Clair, obviously, sometimes you can be hit and miss. When you get onto the fish, you usually get a few, and they're hard-pulling, great-fighting fish. But Glenbourne, it's a big, big lake compared to St Clair, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a lot more diverse than St Clair, I think. You've got weed beds, you've got timber, rock wall. You know, you can fish the flats up there. They're just, you know, there's so many options up there, which is good. You know, if they're not sort up in the timber, you know, they might be out on the grassy points and that sort of stuff. So just very diverse fishing there.
And we got around 100 mils into the Barrington Tops a week or so ago, I guess, with that last rain event, which was much needed. Will that refresh the water in Glenbourne a bit?
I think it'll stir it up a little bit. I was there last weekend and it's brought a bit of dirty water down to the middle reaches, which is good. The basin at the moment is just super clear. You can see the bottom in like 20 feet. So it is just, you know, with the granite and all that, it really filters that water and it is crystal clear. So the fishing can become tough sometimes when it is that clear. But like I said, you can mooch up the back of the dam and find that dirtier water and, you know, chase a reaction bite or something like that. So there's always options.
Yeah, tell us about that. What, for the layperson, what's a reaction bite? And you're looking for Australian bass, obviously.
Yep, Australian bass. There are golden perch and other things in there, but a reaction bite is predominantly happens in springtime, which we're just leading into. So, you know, the bugs are hatching, the yabbies are coming out, and the fish just really get active. And a reaction bait is kind of a moving bait, so a spinner bait or a chatter bait or a or something like that. That just they hit it out of aggression more than, you know, instinct. So when they get big and angry, if, you know, first thing of the morning, and they just fly out of that weed and smash spinner baits, and yeah, it's white knuckle stuff sometimes trying to pull them away from the timber.
What's the go with the size of bass in Glenbourne?
The size of the bass at the moment, they've probably dropped off. They've still got the length and you know, the big shoulders and heads of the big fish, but just with this drought, like, you know, like most other impoundments, it's really starting to hurt the fish. I think the bait's, you know, slowly dying. So they're good size fish, but they're very skinny at the moment, and I'm sure they're just waiting for the yabbies to pop out of their holes, and I think they're going to be trying to put on weight quick. So it's going to be an awesome time to fish Glenbourne in the next few months.
What's the level at the moment?
The level, I think it's a little bit below 49%. So it's dropped quite a lot in the last, you know, 18 months, 2 years. It was, you know, it held very strong there in that 80%, 70 to 80% mark, but yeah, a lot of water's come out over the last sort of 18 months, and it's, yeah, slowly starting to hurt the fish, but there's a lot in there, and you know, much needed rain everywhere, but if we can get some good rain there, it's going to really fire up.
Yeah, and hopefully some of that rain will come down from that recent event. Yeah. Up in the Barrington Tops, because what have we got? 48%. I've just had a look online. Yeah, 48%. So hopefully it's on the rise. And does new ground turn them on a bit too?
It will. If that water can come up, you know, a couple of feet, it'll really set them off. They'll be up in them bushes and the, you know, all the weeds and, you know, all that sort of stuff that was on the bank, and that can be very fun fishing.
Well, 48% would sound like fantastic compared to Burrendong, which is 4.4. You know, the poor buggers there. I mean, the fish need to be taught how to swim again. As
100%, yeah, that's right. St Clair's, it's dropping as well, and as you said, it's not quite as big of a lake. So yeah, the area there at the moment, yeah, diminishing fast.
Sounds like you really like the spinner baits as an option. There's something about that rotating lure from the old Celta days to the spoons that actually it puts out some sort of pulse that hits the lateral line of the fish and just makes them react, doesn't it?
It's just one of them baits that's worked for, you know, it's worked ever since guys have started throwing, and I think it's going to work as long as guys will throw it. So it's very diverse, same thing. You don't always have to, you know, throw it at snags and all that sort of stuff. It can be, you know, big long casts across the flats or across points and that kind of thing. But yeah, there's something about it. But yeah, the fish just love it.
Fishes when it sinks too, doesn't it? That's a great thing about it.
Yep, that's right. Yep, you can fish it the whole way back to the boat. Every water column from, you know, just under the surface to along the bottom. Yeah, so many different ways and options and techniques you can use just with a spinnerbait.
I do like that idea of using your imagination, you know, letting it drop down through the column within the snag and just trying to imagine where the fish is in relation to your spinnerbait. I think that's really clever fishing and takes a lot of touch and a lot of creativity, really.
Oh, definitely. Yep, 100%.
Yeah. Well, the old spinnerbait, what colours? Any colours for the skirts and things that you really favour?
I call it a colour 31. It's a Bassman spinnerbait. It's sort of an olivey brown colour.
Yeah.
Most natural colours are going to work very well, and pretty well it's either three colours for me. It's a black, maybe with a bit of orange, and then like I said, a colour 31, which is a brownie sort of olive colour, and then you can't beat a white chartreuse spinnerbait. It's I've always got one of them tied on whenever I'm throwing a spinnerbait, a white and chartreuse.
And of course, being a catch and release tournament, are these good for that as well, for looking
definitely.
After the fish?
Yep. Well, yep, I do run stinger hooks on all my spinnerbaits, but because it's only a one, you know, most of the time it's only one hook.
A single hook.
The release, you know, I'm certain it'd be, yeah, very close to 100% because they, you know, they hit hard, but it's not like it's, you know, all the way down their gullet or anything like that. So, very easy to unhook them and throw them in the live well, take them back to weigh in, or just, you know, release them straight away.
Fantastic. Easy to look after the fish. And take us through the different arms and different bays of Glenbourne and what are some of the scenarios in those spots. And obviously, I think maybe even the Australian record yellow belly might have come out of there years ago.
It was some monster. 24 rings a bell, but yeah, same thing. Don't quote me. It's
some sort of football bellied beast. They're really obese when they
get. Unbelievable to see something like that, wouldn't it?
And they're still in there, are they, the yellows?
Yep, definitely. I've caught them up to about almost 60 centimetres. I think 58 centimetres are the biggest one I've caught out of there, but I'm certain there's bigger ones in there, that's for sure.
And the odd cod as well?
Definitely. I've seen a cod there on Friday, just free swimming in the basin. He practically swam straight under our boat, didn't really, you know, didn't care about us, and I certainly wasn't going to try and catch him with 8 pound line, that's for sure. So watched him swim by, he was a fish well in excess of 40 pounds.
Wow. Well stocked with the bass?
Well stocked with the bass, yep. The Aberdeen group do a really good job, and there's always plenty of fish. You can catch fish at Glenbourne all year round, I think. It's, knowing where to look and that kind of thing. But there's an abundance of fish in Glenbourne.
And you don't need the 100-mile-an-hour bass boat. I know it helps to get you to where you're going in these comps because you've got limited time to catch your five fish, but which is also a modified bag limit for this particular comp coming up too, isn't it? And then you let them go.
Exactly, yep. No, you don't need a big boat. I truly believe there's fish, you know, all around Glenbourne. You don't have to go far from the boat ramp, even the dam wall. Luckily enough, you can fish probably 90% of the dam wall at Glenbourne, and it holds some great fish year round. And then the first point on your right hand side as you leave the basin, they call it Cemetery Point. And just after Cemetery Point, the sticks and the shrubs and everything start. Lots of little rock outcrops and islands, and yeah, you really don't have to travel far to catch good-sized fish at Glenmore.
Sounds like a great place. You could even just go for a bit of a paddle on the kayak, I guess, and maybe tangle with a few.
Always lots of kayakers out there, and I'm certain they catch them. And yeah, you just got to watch with that wind. If the wind's predicted, and it really can hammer down the basin. And yeah, I've seen quite large waves at Glenbourne, and glad I was in a boat and not a kayak.
Yeah, it can funnel down the valley, can't it? Anyway, it's great to hear that there's been a little bit of influx of new water that might turn things on. When's the big competition for the ABT there?
So the Australian Open, it is the 20th, 21st, 22nd, I think it is, of October. So, yeah, like you said, a five-fish limit. There's probably going to be, 50 bass boats, you know, just raging up and down that dam trying to catch our five biggest for the day and over the two-day session. And, last year someone got to lift a $10,000 trophy. So there's a lot on the line, and it's, very exciting for the area.
Well, good luck to you. That 10 grand would hopefully help you get over to America with the Australian team that won the silver medal in the big championships. And one thing that I've got to pass on, and I think you know this more than anyone, Frank Prokop was telling me that we've got to make sure that everyone doesn't think they're American bass, and if you do lip grip them, to make sure you support the belly as well. I think that message is through loud and clear, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. The fish care these days with guys it's really taken off. You know, no one likes to see dead fish, and especially after a tournament, you know, we hold pride in ourselves to make sure them fish swim away so that, you know, everyone else, including us, can catch them again. So they're not largemouth, but them big guys, you've really got to support their belly when you hold them up.
Well, hopefully plenty of big guys for you to hold up at the weigh-in and let go none the worse for wear, and good luck with it. Mitchell Cohn, thanks so much for joining us on the program and sharing a few of the secrets of Glenbourne. I hope they don't all follow you now at at the tournament.
No, we'll be right. Everyone's got their own areas, so there's plenty of water out there.
All right. Well, it's a certain type of fishing for a certain type of person. Some people love it, others can't hack it, but it's such a diverse sport, this sport we love. It's good that people enjoy it. You do no harm. You just have fun. You're out in the environment and you let the fish go. I mean, a lot of people listening to this, they say, what's that all about? But you love it, don't you?
Oh, you do. Like, they're too good to catch once. It's nothing better than getting the kids out there catching their first bass. So as long as there's plenty of bass in Glenbourne for my kids and their kids' kids, then I'll be happy.
Great stuff. Mitchell Cohn, good luck in the big event coming up later in October and tight lines.
Thank you very much.
On ABC Radio, it's The Big Fish with Scott Levi.
Bet you're going fishing all of the time. Baby going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife will catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too. I went on down to my favorite fishing hole. Baby grabbed me a pole and a line. Threw my pole on and caught a 9-pound catfish. Now you know I brought him home for supper time. Proving any fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing. And my baby going fishing too. Baby brother about to run me out of my mind. Say, can I go fishing with you? I took him on down to the fishing hole. Now, what do you think that he did do? Pull a great big fish out the bottom of the pond. Now, he laughed and jumped because he was real gone. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing. And my baby going fishing too. Put him in the pot, baby, put him in the pan. Honey, cook him till he's nice and brown. Make a batch of buttermilk, whole cakes, mama, and chew them fangs, and then chomp them on down, singing, any fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relay. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing to play the blues. Tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby gone fishing too.
It's The Big Fish. Good morning. And one of the really great contributors to The Big Fish over more than a decade, Dr. Brian Snapper Pratt. We had the anniversary of Brian's passing on the 22nd of September, and there's a wonderful tribute being paid to the man on the weekend with ACT Parks and Conservation and the local angling groups, the Canberra Anglers Association, and everyone involved in fishing in the capital, involved in the unveiling of a memorial to Brian at a beautiful spot overlooking one of his favourite waters, Googong, a magnificent reservoir, and he fought so long and hard to open that up so it could be shared with recreational anglers, conservationists, and people who like to paddle a kayak and catch a fish. And it was one of his great achievements, really, a lasting legacy for the fisher folk of the ACT to open up that beautiful dam and also do all of the great work wading through the bureaucracy to have a water supply dam as also a fishing dam. And it's worked very well because the fisher folk are the custodians of that precious resource. They keep a watchful eye out for any pollution and any problems. And, of course, healthy fish mean healthy water. Anthony Pizzella is part of the angling fraternity in the ACT, one of the tackle shop proprietors. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Wade. How are you doing?
Yeah, going really well. This is a lovely tribute to Brian. It's going to be unveiled by Doris, Brian's wife, at 9:30 tomorrow morning at the Lookout. It's a beautiful spot, isn't it?
It is gorgeous, yeah, overlooking the part of the dam there at Googong. Googong itself is a beautiful spot at the best of times, so it's going to be nice to see it definitely unveiled there. It would be great.
What sort of legacy did Brian leave for you all there in the ACT?
Look, he popularised fishing here in the ACT over many years. A huge contribution. There was obviously the radio shows he was doing. He wrote for the papers here in Canberra with the fishing reports for a really, really long time, and also had the fishing stores here in the ACT too. So he was one of those gentlemen that it was very easy to talk to and was happy to share the knowledge that he got over the years.
Anthony, it seems like he was Mr. Fishing in the ACT.
He pretty well was, yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you wanted to know about how the fishing was going in Canberra, then Brian was the one to go to. So
he was very generous to this program too. Even when he was on holidays in his beloved caravan at Bermagui, he would still answer the phone and do a report for us from down on the coast. Just a magnanimous gentleman and a wonderfully knowledgeable gentleman. Boy, he had a great ability to wade through red tape too, didn't he, Anthony, to get Googong open, and we've had no problems there. It's been a wonderful thing for all concerned.
He did, yeah, definitely, and it's a great waterway. So it is amazing to have it open to fishing. There's some amazing fishing going on down there at Googong, and it's gotten a lot better over the years as well, with the stocking programs that he was would have been a big part of as well.
And very sensibly managed too, don't you think, Anthony, with the curfews and you know, not oil-powered boats to keep the water pristine. Has that all worked really well, that management plan?
It has, yeah, definitely. I mean, you can go out there and it's obviously very clear water. It is a water catchment, so, you know, we are drinking the water at the same time. So the fact that the guys can still get out there and fish on the lake without any issues and without affecting that water quality is definitely a great thing.
And Anthony Pizzella, I know you've never been one to brag, but how have you done there over the years since Snapper opened it up for you all?
Yeah, look, it's fished pretty well for me over the years. I probably haven't fished it as much as what I should do, but I know there's a lot of guys getting some good fish. You know, this year there's been some cod over a metre 20 caught out of the lake there. There's always some good yellow belly, so there's been yellow belly over sort of 70 centimetres, which is, you know, definitely a really good fish. And, you know, the trout over the years have been great out there as well.
And putting those larger trout in to hopefully cope with the predation from the redfin, that could be a great thing for you too.
Yeah, look, potentially. So it's something that, you know, anything that goes into the lake as fingerlings, there's definitely a lot of predators in there, including your redfin and your golden perch and Murray cod, obviously. So and even there's still a few trout that get around in there as well. So definitely having the bigger stuff going is going to make a bit of a difference in the numbers that survive.
And how, I know you're in the industry there in the tackle shop, Anthony Pizzella. How big is angling in such a big inland city? Because I think a lot of people underrate how many fishos there are, even in places away from the coast.
Yeah, look, and we're really, really lucky here in Canberra because we've got such great fisheries, you know, pretty well a stone's throw away. Obviously, you've got the local native scene. You've also got the coast, which is sort of an hour and a half, 2 hours away. And you've also got the mountains with your Jindabyne, your Convene, Tentangra, places like that, which again is only about an hour and a half to 2 hours away. So we're really, really lucky because you've got that full gamut of the different types of fishing that you can do and fairly close in proximity as well.
What's your favourite, Anthony?
Oh, mate, I love all of it. So probably the estuary stuff for me. I don't mind getting down the coast and throwing a few plastics for some jewies and flathead and brim and things like that.
And what's the scene like down there at the moment, Anthony?
So this time of year, it's picking up a little bit now that the water's starting to warm up a bit. Some of the bigger flathead are starting to move around through the systems. There's some brim and stuff moving around as well. So it's pretty well only going to get better from here, basically.
All right. Great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for talking about your good old mate, Snapper. And I think he was a good old mate to all of us. It was Philip Clark from ABC Radio Canberra who coined the nickname Snapper. It seemed to stick. And
yep.
Dr. Brian Snapper Pratt was a friend to all anglers and a wonderful gentleman. So hopefully lots of people from the ACT and surrounds can get along to Googong Dam Lookout at 9:30 tomorrow morning. And join in honouring the memory of Dr. Brian Snapper Pratt.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be great to be there and see it unveiled.
Anthony Pezzella, thank you so much for joining us from the ACT.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
This is The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Next cast on The Big Fish, Alex Bellissimo on our land-based adventures around Sydney Harbour, picking out some great fishing spots. And a spot that's called 40 Baskets Beach, it'd have to be pretty productive, wouldn't it? The Hillbilly Fisherman, and fishermen never lie. Stretch the truth a little bit.
Well, the government tells you porkies and the banker takes his piece. The real estate agent pulls the wool and mechanics do the fleece. And the telephone company's always charging more than they deserve. But the fisherman, poor bloody sod, always cops the biggest serve. Yet the fisherman never tells a lie, a fib, untruth or tale. You can take his word as gospel, he never hides behind a veil. I tell you it's the truth, my friends, and I would never lie. Cause I'm a fisherman and I will be till I die. I was standing on my favourite bridge when I spied the boys in blue, who invited me to accompany them and boost their revenue. And they had the cheek to charge me with fishing for some brim. I said, no, mate, see, you've got it wrong. I'm just teaching me worm to swim.
Smart, Alec, eh? Come here.
Well, that copper size 10 boot was still imprinted on my rump when I was brought before the local judge and I sensed he had the hump. Apparently, a witness saw me sit on the copper's foot. I got the choice of a fine or doing time and he got off the hook. Well, the government tells you porkies and the banker takes his piece. The real estate agent pulls the wool and mechanics do the fleece. And the telephone company's always charging more than they deserve. But the fisherman, poor bloody sod, always cops the biggest serve. Yet the fisherman never tells a lie, a fib, untruth or tale. You can take his word as gospel, he never hides behind a veil. I tell you it's the truth, my friends, and I would never lie. Cause I'm a fisherman and I will be till I die. Well, me local politician was canvassing the coast and he courted me with promises if I'd give him me vote. I asked him what his platform was. He said to me, old sport, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Hope we don't get caught. Well, the government tells you porkies and the banker takes his piece. The real estate agent pulls the wool and mechanics do the fleece. And the telephone company's always charging more than they deserve. But the fisherman, poor bloody sod, always cops the biggest serve. Well, the moral to this story, and for some it's gonna hurt, is when you reach the pearly gates and you get your just dessert, the fisherman's exaggerations will kindly be received. But I wouldn't bet a single bob on the rest of those bloody thieves. Well, the government tells you porkies and the banker takes his piece. The real estate agent pulls the wool and mechanics do the fleece. And the telephone company's always charging more than they deserve. But the fisherman, poor bloody sod, always cops the biggest serve. Yeah, the fisherman never tells a lie, a fib, untruth or tale. He can take his word as gospel, he never hides behind a veil. I tell you it's the truth, my friends, and I would never lie. Cause I'm a fisherman and I will be till I die. Yeah, I'm a fisherman and I will be till I die. Yeah, I'm a fisherman and I will be. Oh, yeah. Until I die.
It's The Big Fish and we continue our Shanks Pony Tour, our land-based fishing adventure around Sydney Harbour. It's going to take us a while, but we'll get there in the end, Alex Bellissimo. We're at 40 Baskets Beach. Now, that's got to be a spot where you can bag out. Good morning.
Good morning there, Scott, mate. Yeah, look, it's one of those spots. It's a unique, beautiful, pristine area, you know, and that side of North Harbour is particularly quiet. So if you want quiet surroundings, and you want that serenity compared to the other side. So the northern side of North Harbour's obviously got a little bit more sort of traffic there, more people, but the southern side, it's just more pristine, in my opinion.
All right. You've met some famous people there over the years, haven't you, while you've been fishing, made friends with a few of them?
Well, yeah, look the late Rex Mossett, the great Rex Mossett, he was a local down there. I didn't really know him, but I obviously recognised him. Yeah, so what was his nickname again?
Moose.
The Moose, yes.
The Moose. Exactly right. And there's a good walkway there too, isn't there? So the dog walkers and the people will wander by, and people love to say g'day to a person just standing holding a rod, don't they? How you doing? How, you catching any, mate?
Well, yeah, often the case, yeah. And you get people that are just non-fishers and say, "Did you catch anything here?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely."
You do. Can you get a spot along Betty Street there and walk down the walkway?
That's right. Yeah, along Betty Street, you can generally find parking. Right down the very end, there's obviously more parking. It goes into a cul-de-sac. Now, about halfway down, probably about 30% of the way down, as you turn into Betty Street, about 30% of the way down, about sort of 80 metres down, 100 metres down, there's a set of stairs. You can start fishing along around the Davis Marina sort of rock foreshore there. You can cast light unweighted baits like a pilchard fillet or pink nipper, fresh Hawkesby prawn or a river prawn, and you can get brim there, you can get whiting, you get flathead, you get trevallies as well. It's quite a good ludric spot. It's one of those, look, with ludric fishing along the foreshores there, it may pay to actually move around as well. A lot of the ludric fishermen tend to stand in one spot, but if you catch a couple of ludric there and then you can move to another spot, search for the weed beds as well, the ribbon weed beds and the kelp beds. And a reasonable drop off around 3 metres, and you'll find the ludric along there. If you keep walking along, you start approaching the actual 40 Baskets Beach, and along that beach there, you do get some whiting off the beach there. You get flathead. You can spin through a flathead there using plastics and so forth. And you know something, it's one of those unique spots, mate, where you can actually get some of those subtropical and tropical species like Samson fish and Spangled Emperor.
Off the shore?
Absolutely. I've caught quite a few of them there. North Harbour is renowned for that.
That's amazing.
If you want to get a juvenile Samson fish, well, take into account they're juvenile ones. They're not sort of like the
matured
models that you get up north, you know. So,
still pull like crazy.
Oh, mate, and great on the plate as well. They pull like crazy, exactly right. But I'm talking about fish up to about 2 kilos. So one that's about 2 kilos is a big fish. If you get a Spangled Emperor over, say, 1.5 kilo there, it's pretty rare.
They're a lovely, lovely tropical fish.
Oh, beautiful tropical fish, mate, and just a tight white meat on it. I've caught Samson fish up to about 3 kilo there, but that's a very rare one.
Oh, yeah.
They're generally sort of between that sort of 1 and 1.5 kilo, which is a good size fish, you know. So anyway, yeah, you get some of the tropical species there. You get ludric there. It's a good bait gathering location. Unfortunately, but during the daytime, it can be a little bit quiet. But if you go there on the low light period, you can get your yellowtail, and you can at times get your slimy mackerel. And in season, towards the end of the season, say around May and so forth, around April, May, you can get sea garfish there as well. And, you know, sea garfish, as you know, it can be pretty difficult to find. There was one funny moment there. Now, I've been fishing the shores there. See, that was my stomping grounds as a kid, right? I used to do a little bit of ludric fishing off there, fishing spin for kings, live baiting there. I used to get some John Dory occasionally off there as well. That's something worth noting as well. Anyway, I had myself and a mate of mine. It was getting a bit crowded, right? So we were fishing for ludric. And the outer perimeter of the pool, like the sort of fence line of the pool, it's not very wide, right? So, you know, you just got a railing of about 25 centimetres, and you've got to be nimble enough to be able to walk across it, and you can fish off the actual outer fence line of the actual pool. And a mate of mine hooked up, and he just lost his footing. He just fell on the drink. So he fell about 2 metres and into quite deep water. He didn't hurt himself. Quickly passed up the rod, and he didn't lose the Ludric, by the way. And then he got out of the water, and then he landed the Ludric. You know,
nice. Moment. Yeah. So that's a good option there, and that gives you a little bit of a land-based spot to go to the pool there. What about further around on the rocks at the end of the beach? It's called Reef Bay, I guess, for a reason. There's some good reefy ground close in.
Oh well, look what, if you go east of the, so we won't go that far right up to Dobroyd Point. Dobroyd Point's a long way away, but going about 30 metres east of 30 to about 80 metres east of pool, but you've actually got the beach itself, and it's quite rocky, so it can be quite snaggy. So take into account that, you know, you're going to get a few snags when you're beach fishing there. You can spin the flathead. Just be mindful that when you're standing back, you're looking at the actual patches of what you're standing in. So when you're fishing with sinking plastics, you know, don't just cast it straight onto the rocks there. Try and avoid the rocks. Cast it in between the actual lighter spots and darker spots. The darker spots are generally reef, and the lighter area is generally the sand. Cast into the sand, then you'll get flathead laying in there. You get some whiting, you get brim in there as well. It's a good night fishing spot. Squid strips, prawn, pink nippers. If you use your fish baits and so forth, it's still quite good for spangled emperor, but it seems better using the squid and nippers and so forth for your Samson fish rather than using pillies. You can spin off there. You can get a few kings as well. Spin with seagar fish. You can live bait out there. You can cast out onto the bottom because there is a sand bottom there, but just take into account there is a lot of moored boats there. So if you're going to fish for kings there, fish pretty heavy. You're going to have to stop them from going around the anchor.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and that's a starting point for a great track that gives you access to a lot of rock platform, 40 Baskets track that heads right around to Reef Bay and Reef Beach. So that might be the stretch that we explore next time. It looks like a terrific spot to explore. And the good thing is, if you're prepared to do a little bit of walking, you'll be able to get away from the crowds for sure.
Oh, look, it seldom gets fished, right? So it's just one of those places. I mean, Sydney Harbour is such a massive place, right? So, you know, there's a lot of areas that just seldom get fished. You find that anglers tend to congregate because other anglers are catching fish there.
Mm.
So just be adventurous. And that's the marvellous thing about being an angler, is that get the adventure side into you. Get out there and just, you know, be brave. Get out there and find new spots.
Wherever you wet a line, there will be fish. From 40 Baskets
exactly.
Beach up to Dobroyd Point, there's some pretty wild rock fishing spots there, but we'll cover that next time around. That'll be our next session on land-based Sydney Harbour with you, Alex Bellissimo, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking really forward to actually talking about that area there. It can be good for a number of species, but we'll talk a little more about that next time.
All right, we'll catch you next time. Good, cheap, accessible fishing that gets you fit. You might bring home a feed and you get to see our beautiful harbour. Thanks for joining us again on The Big Fish, Alex Bellissimo.
All right, it's been a pleasure.
Alex is a rock and beach fishing guide around Sydney and particularly the northern side of the harbour, but he's fished everywhere, man.
I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Up beaches, boats and piers, man. I'm in up to my ears, man. With hand light rods or spears, man. I fished everywhere. I caught pinkies, kingies, dragon whiting, black brim, blackfish when they're biting, flathead, flounder, pike and hake, blue pointers, tiger sharks, that's flake, redfin, yellow belly, marigold, tarpon, brown trout, rainbows, even had a carp on.
Yeah, but what kind of bait?
Fresh spawns, pippies, crabs and cungy, beach worms, sandworms, sperma, spongy, white bait, froggies, nippers, yabbies, ockies, squidgies, potties, crabbies, pilchards, mussels, cabbage, weed on, all the stuff fish love to feed on. I'll try any bait, mate, to get fish on a plate, mate. I fish it early light, mate, and sometimes through the night, mate. I catch and then release, mate. Yes, I've fished everywhere.
Yeah, but name is a couple of spots, mate.
Cape York, Cooktown, Collaroy, Naruma, Mossman, Maryborough, Western Port and Cooma, Noosa, Bribey, Coolin, Gatticoolin, Harvey Bay, Byron Bay, Bowen and Maroolan, Brisbane, Gisborne, Bundaberg and Bunbury, Portland, Shark Bay, boy, I'm in a quandary. Darwin down to Perth, mate, on a boat where there's a berth, mate, on a four-wheel in the outback, I'm set to hit the road, Jack.
on a rock ledge when the tide slacked. Yes, I've fished everywhere. Crikey, anywhere else? Tweed to Servers, Ballinata, Bundigo to Darwin, the reefs, Whitsunday, Gosford, Tarry, Wyndham, Warragamba, Burrinjuck, Tullibuck, Laurentian, Yamba, Frankston, Brighton, Air Tasmania, Esperance, Albany. Guess I've got a mania. I fished everywhere, man. I fished everywhere, man. Beaches, boats and piers, man. I'm in up to my ears, man. Whether handline, rods or spears, man. Yes, I fished everywhere. Fished here, there, everywhere. I fished everywhere. Got to see your license, mate.
This is The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Big Fish, one for all of those stream trout fishers. Nothing like wandering along a beautiful mountain stream. Plenty of snow in the snowy mountains, so hopefully the rivers will be fishing okay. Sadly, the New England tableland devastated by drought and fire. Terrible to see what's happened up around Ebor there. Hopefully it'll bounce back. And certainly a lot of people will be getting ready for the opening weekend next weekend on the long weekend from midnight on Friday night, tying flies, fixing up the waders, nothing worse than having a leak in your waders. Peter LeBlanc, keeping us up to date with the Sydney scene. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, going well. You've been on the water a bit, I believe, lately after all of that rain. Did it help at all with the kingfish that you love?
Oh, mate, yeah, the kingfish are in pit water and getting pretty active now. So it's now the water's cleared up a little bit. It's fishing quite well again.
It's funny, your mate over the ridge there at North Harbour, Craig, wanted it dirtier. You don't mind it clearer, do you?
No, that's right. It's a different techniques, of course. You know, we're moving baits around all the time with our downriggers and, you know, feeding live squid and live yellowtail and that kind of thing. So they can be seen from further away, and, you know, it attracts the attention of those schools of kingfish, which, of course, makes it so that we get more than one bite.
You see it as an advantage, don't you, down-rigging when the water's really clear, because your theory is the fish can see the presentation from further off and are actively hunting it.
That's correct. And, you know, I mean, the flashes and everything else that we drop off the downriggers as well, that attracts more attention with light being dispersed through the water and flashes, etc. So, you know, the clearer the water, the further it seems to show out. And, of course, we get those fish coming from further afield.
And you did have a period there where you did your own research with underwater cameras, watching the way fish reacted to your presentations. I think the camera eventually went to Davy Jones's locker, but that must have taught you a lot.
Oh, it certainly did, mate. It was quite amazing, like you say, to see the fish and the way they reacted to different one baits and to the bombs and what have you. There was quite a few occasions where I was out there fishing on my own and just thought, okay, well, I'll just run the shark cannonballs, for instance, those chrome ones, and I'll see what it comes up to it, you know, without any baits on trailing behind it. And the amount of fish that we actually had coming up to those particular bombs was amazing. And, you know, they'd come up and look at it, and I'm sure that was more of an inquisitive kind of come over and have a look to see what it was. And, of course, you know, with that working in your favour, and if you've got a bait that's not far behind it, it proved to be quite interesting, and seeing, you know, why one particular downrigging bomb was a lot better than the other ones.
That's fascinating, isn't it? And really using that big weight down there as a fish-attracting device to get their attention, and then all of a sudden there's that succulent wriggling squid or yellowtail or slimy mackerel. That's been the formula, hasn't it?
It has, and you know, I've been using that formula for many years now, and you know, we've even got down there now. I've got scent bottles and all sorts of other things that I've advanced on from that too.
So. Right. You've been the pioneer of that method. I think most people would, you know, obviously it's a method that's been used around the world, particularly in the Great Lakes of the US, but you know, being one to first adapt it to Sydney kingfish was quite a coup for you, wasn't it? That was a bit of a eureka moment for you.
It was indeed, mate. It was you know, I was using the catch flathead and jewfish and all those kind of things for years previous, and, you know, putting up with people yelling out to me that there's no trout in here, you idiot. and just adapted it to suit the styles of fishing that I was actually, and the fish I was trying to capture.
Yeah, it's been a great journey for you, and you're a real thinking person's fisher. What's on the bite around Sydney and the Northern Beaches this week? Peter, mate, anything to catch this weekend?
Yeah, if you're going to be able to go out along the reef and along the areas along the coast there in about 30 to 40 metres of water, we've got snapper that you can go and catch. Some nice snapper showing up along those areas there. Coming back in the pit water, you know, we've got kingfish, we've got some salmon and tailor that are showing up in pit water and Broken Bay. There's some nice flathead also that are around the place. We've got squid, some rather large ones still as well. And then down in Sydney Harbour, they're catching some thumper kingfish down there as well. So there's no excuses for sitting on the lounges this weekend. You know, get out there and get amongst it. Just pick your destination, and there are fish to go and be caught.
Excellent stuff. We're going to Botany Bay next week too, with one of the local fishing clubs who've got a big family fun fishing day. So we'll find out about that scene there. But it's been good too since becoming a recreational fishing haven, hasn't it? You get good reports out of there too.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, the guys all the way along there, you know, that fish down near the bridges and over near the airport, and, you know, they've got many different areas that they've found over the years. And like you say, since they've ripped out the commercial fishing, just like Sydney Harbour, the place is filling up with bait fish and all the other baits and everything else, which keeps the fish in there, which makes it available for all us anglers.
Yeah, it's the way to go. Sustainable fishing. Rod and line fishing is very sustainable, particularly the way I practice it. Peter, you know how bad I am. Hey, tight lines, Pete LeBlanc. Catch you next time on The Big Fish.
Thanks, mate. I look forward to your calling again.
Get out of it, bloody seagulls.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listener.